You're listening to the Ruhi Sleep, Sleep in Society podcast, recorded in Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Sleep in Society. I'm your host, Ruhi Snyder, and today we are going to focus on shift work and diet. Over 20% of global population are shift workers. That number is around 30% in Canada. Shift work has been associated, and it's been well studied, in terms of its negative consequences on metabolic health, cardiovascular health, mood disorders, cognition, and aging. What we eat has also been studied and its impact on our cardiovascular and metabolic health, but when we eat is a brand new science. Today, joining me on Sleep in Society are critical care nurses Katie Weeks and Lisa Damiano, and we are going to be having a conversation on shift work and diet. Welcome, Katie. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining me. How are you guys?
Oh, we're trucking along. Myself and Katie, we both have been working our usual schedules and pretty much just going back and forth between our houses and the hospital, keeping our social distancing.
How is the social distancing component going?
It's okay. It's not the most fun, especially with this beautiful weather. I mean, we just want to get out there, sit on a patio, relax. But I mean, we can make the best of what we have right now. Like, I've been going out for walks with people. Katie's been taking her dog out for walks with like some of our coworkers, or I've been running outside. So we just kind of have to stay like this for now until we get the green light to be more social.
And Katie, are you still on the same schedule as before? 2 days and two nights, 5 days off?
Yes, that's correct. I'm still working that schedule and loving it. I'm happy that the nice weather is coming along so I can enjoy my days off and be productive around the house.
Mm-hmm. And are you still with the race team? And can we just tell the population what race team stands for quickly, please?
Yes, I'm celebrating my 4 years of being on the race team. It's a rapid response team for critical events within the hospital. So any type of critical event that's occurring, whether it's with a visitor, family member, patient, staff member in the hospital, there's a code team that gets activated to respond to those situations and stabilize the patient. Sometimes we end up transferring the patients to an emergency department. Sometimes it's stabilizing them within the floor that they're on. And sometimes it involves bringing them down to the intensive care unit. So lots of fun. Keeps me on my toes.
Yeah. It actually sounds at times stressful.
Yes.
I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to settle in nicely.
Yeah. After 4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Only took 4 years.
Exactly.
And Lisa, are you still doing 12-hour days with the intermittent night here and there?
I'm still doing lots of day shifts. I just came off 3 days in a row. Actually, now I'm off for three. Myself and Katie actually were supposed to be leaving for Mexico on Friday, so I have a little bit of time off. Not too sure what I'm going to do with that, but I work about 3 to 5 shifts, day shifts a week. Mm-hmm. I haven't done a night shift for a while, and I don't foresee one for a very long time, actually. So I do enjoy the day shifts, and I'm loving the sleeping in as well on my days off. It's going to be hard maybe once we're like in this kind of routine of not doing too much and staying home. I feel like it's going to be weird once we can start doing things.
And what in terms of like doing much, you mean in terms of socializing and all of those like non-work related, like social things?
Absolutely. And just even seeing family and friends, like most of my family lives out of town. So I haven't seen them since right before the pandemic, pre-pandemic, right before then. And I'm usually used to driving back and forth on the 401 between Ottawa and Toronto. So it is weird been staying in Kingston this long, but it is beautiful out right now. And we just kind of have to make best with what we're dealing with right now.
And In terms of like your sleep, which you've just discussed, Katie, how is your sleep these days?
It hasn't really changed a ton. If anything, I'm sleeping in a little bit more on my days off than I'm used to, because previous to the pandemic, I was pretty routine in getting up around 8 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. quickly lock the dog, and then straight to the gym for a 2-hour session. Mm-hmm. A little bit harder to find the motivation to wake up and crawl down to my basement and do the same workout.
Yeah.
So I'm choosing to sleep in a little bit longer, and my days are a little bit slower in that sense. I wake up, I have breakfast, and then I consider going downstairs and doing a little bit of a workout, but not to the same degree as before. So I would say I'm resting a lot more than I was, but my sleep quality overall is unchanged.
And so are you finding that somehow, if you're reflecting back on it, are you finding it better? Like that you're resting more, are you feeling better about it? Or do you find that...
I'm adjusting to it. Mm-hmm. For me, physically working out and being in the gym atmosphere was a huge energy release for me and a calming factor in my life. Mm-hmm. I can't seem to achieve that same sense of calming from working out at home. So I sort of miss that. And it's challenging, obviously, on someone's mental health when your whole aspect is to go to the gym and that's what you look forward to every day. Mm-hmm. So a little bit different. I'm starting to come around to it and starting to accept it, because the more and more we hear from the government, the gyms are going to be one of the last things to open. So I kind of...
If ever.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of have to create this sort of new world of mm-hmm. working out within my home. Now that the weather's getting better, I can kind of go outside and do things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's different. So yeah. I have to mentally change my outlook and my expectations of what I want to achieve for myself now that going to a gym and working out with machines is not a possibility right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think like for me too, even though I've been dedicated to being able to work in the space and the environment and whatever is available, but I'm still finding it challenging mm-hmm. to dedicate a time, because, you know, it was so scheduled before in a way. Like if I'm on night shifts, this is when I'm working out. On my days off, this is what I'm doing in terms of training, whether I'm going out for coaching or whether I am going out for walks. And it's like everything is upside down. And I think readjustment period is taking quite a while in itself. But I have to just tell you guys that for the first time in 20 years, I've been having the most amazing sleep I've experienced. So for that, I'm utterly grateful. I think I am somewhat aligned with my circadian rhythms now. And I have realized that I am a morning chronotype. I want to be in bed by 10:30. And I want to be up by 7:30 in the morning. So that's a good thing to know. And I just wanted to quickly go, Lisa, in terms of your chronotype, whether you're a morning person or evening person, what type are you guys? Can we quickly go into that?
Before, I guess before shift work, I was always a night owl. Mm-hmm. And I am still a night owl. It's just I find it's like I can stay up till midnight, 1 o'clock, no problem. Mm-hmm. It's the sleeping the next day after a night shift is where I run into problems. So I am a morning person now. But once I'm awake, like I need a good hour and then I'm okay. Like it's that. Mm-hmm. I hate getting up in the morning, but I'm in a routine now between both my jobs, getting up at 5:30. Mm-hmm. So other than that, though, like on a weekend or a day off, I'm definitely sleeping in. Like today I slept until about 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay. And when you're on holidays, what time are you waking up?
If I'm away somewhere, yeah. I like to get up early and enjoy wherever we are. Like my friends like to sleep in and I'm always like, let's get up and do something. But so sometimes I'll go out on my own and do walks and whatnot. But like if we've had a late night too, I do like to sleep in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, definitely with work, like the first hour of my shift, I'm kind of just waking up and getting, because I don't drink coffee either. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of waking up and getting into the groove of my day. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily grumpy, but I always just need that little bit of boost of energy in the morning, and then I'm good for the rest of the day. I don't really get sleepy in the day either.
Mm. So in, and Katie, would you consider yourself a morning person or more of an evening night person?
I would say I'm definitely more of a morning person. Mm-hmm. I've always kind of described myself as a middle of the day person.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. And there is such a thing. So
I like to get up early in the morning because my routine previous to all of the pandemic was to work out before I started my day.
Okay.
So I started up early, walked the dog, went to the gym, and then I'd begin my day. That way I knew the most important part of my day and my concerns were taken care of right away. Mm-hmm. But then and the rest of the day I'm fine. I like to be in bed by 9:30, 10:30 at night, and I usually get up around 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And it's always hard to get up initially. Like I'll wake up and I feel tired right off the get-go, but mm-hmm. within 10, 15 minutes, like Lisa says, you kind of just shrug it off, have a shower, have breakfast, and then continue on your merry way, and I'm good to go.
And Lisa, you normally train, because we've discussed this in our previous episode, you usually like to exercise post your day shift. Is that right?
So I won't do anything. If I work a 12-hour day, when I come home, I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. It's the next day. Like today, I'm going to go probably to Memorial Center and mm-hmm. do the track. Mm-hmm. And then I'll probably do 2 walks later too.
Okay.
Normally, yes. So we've talked about before is if I'm at my other job, which I finish at 3, mm-hmm. I go to the gym after that. And I usually do a class.
And
but that's not an option right
no,
now.
No, it's not. And you were also participating in a lot of sports as well.
Exactly. So, yeah, I played the sports after day shifts, which was really tiring. I kind of think now, I'm like, how did I do that? But you just do what you got to do, right?
Or maybe you're looking back at it now, you're going, I wonder if that was a good idea.
Exactly. And because I had knee surgery at the end of 2018, I haven't actually played sports since then. So maybe I won't be able to do that. We'll see.
Well,
in the summer, it's different than the winter.
Yeah. And also, I think it's good to know because there's a multitude of options in terms of how we can move. And especially in terms of injury, I think it's better to prevent injury than, push yourself into injury, because injuries have a tendency to come back. So which takes me into your diet patterns on when you are working shift, whether it's day shift or night shift. Can we go a little bit into what you guys are eating? Katie, what do you eat when on your days, when you're on your 12-hour day shift and your patterns?
Okay, so my patterns for day shift. So I meal prep everything on my last day off for my 2 day shifts.
Okay.
For breakfast, I'm pretty standardized. I eat the same thing every day. I usually have a bowl of cereal with a glass of milk, an apple. Sometimes I'll have some nuts. And then sometimes I'll have an egg, sometimes not. Depends on what's in the fridge. or a slice of cheese and a little thing of yogurt. I kind of eat a bigger breakfast of mm-hmm. little things because I never know when I'm going to get my lunch break at work.
Yeah.
So I try and fill up that way.
You're covering all your food groups too, by the way, from the sounds of it.
Yes, ideally, yes. A little bit of something from everything.
Yeah. And then throughout the day, you said you're not sure when you're going to get a lunch break, depending on the kind of day you're having on the wards.
Correct.
So what happens? Can we go into it a little bit if your day is a little too much? What happens?
So on a normal day, if things are going well, mm-hmm. usually I prefer to take a later lunch break because I've had such a big breakfast. I'm not usually hungry until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So I usually take second break if I can, which starts around 1:30, 1:45. And at that point, I end up having a decent sized meal, I would say. It can fluctuate from a pasta with a side salad. It can be some form of a large piece of meat with a salad again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have a full drink of amino acids usually with lunch as well to remain hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll finish it with a granola bar as my dessert, basically, if I don't have another piece of fruit handy. And that's if I'm having a good day. Mm-hmm. If the day ends up getting away from us, whether I'm busy, the unit's busy, my partner's busy, that 1:30 lunch can end up dragging out and starting at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which is not ideal. It doesn't happen often, but mm-hmm. when it happens, it happens for everybody. Usually the whole floor is running late for breaks. And again, have the same meal, but then I usually add a coffee to it.
Oh, okay. Just to boost up your energy.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. And Lisa, what is your day structured? You're mostly doing days anyway, so is it somewhat consistent, you find?
Absolutely. I'm kind of the same as Katie. Very similar. What I do on my day off before I go back to work is just kind of prep what I'm going to have for my day shifts. Mm-hmm. So I always start out with a smoothie in the morning, which usually just has frozen fruit, some almond milk or some Greek yogurt, and some protein powder. Mm-hmm. So I do that, and I usually drink that at my desk if I can, or on my break, I've kind of been doing the whole not eating after 9, and then I don't eat until about 10 or 11.
So eating after 9 at night, you mean?
Yeah. So I guess it's like a 14-hour fast, if you will. So, and then usually sometimes too, I'll have like yogurt with berries at work, or if I'm on Davies 4, the one ICU, because I work mm-hmm. on two ICUs, okay. we have this little egg maker. So I usually bring 2 eggs and I'll have that in the morning with just like some hot sauce. And then for lunch, I usually do about 2. I've been going around 2 o'clock, I'd say. And I usually do like a meat and rice, or a meat and pasta. It really just depends. Like yesterday, I had like a gluten-free pasta salad, and it was actually really good. And then like,
was that your first time trying the gluten-free?
No, I've been eating the gluten-free pasta for a while now, actually.
Oh, why is that?
Just because of my Crohn's disease, I've just been a little bit bloated lately. So I've decided to switch back to it.
Okay.
But there's other days that's probably the most I'll eat at work. Sometimes I'll have like a snack late in the afternoon, like an apple or something, but sometimes we don't have time to do that, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I definitely haven't the last 3 days. It's been busy. Usually I'll continue to fill up my water at my desk and everything. But other than that, I eat when I get home. Like yesterday, I actually picked up Royal Angkor, so some Thai food. Mm-hmm. So I had a red curry dish, and I've actually been imitating it at home as well too. So I'll make a big dish of that, and then I'll have it for dinner, and then I'll bring it the next day for lunch.
For lunch, so it divides it into two. And then what, Katie, what time when you get home from your day shift are you eating yourself, like the food?
So I usually eat dinner with my partner as soon as I get home, around 7:30 at night.
Okay.
And it's a full-size normal dinner of mm-hmm. whatever the partner's craving.
Are you cooking?
No, I'm not cooking. So we have a household rule that whoever is working day shift, if the other person is off, they do the cooking and I'll do the dishes. And same for our night shifts. If I'm working nights and I have to sleep during the day and the other person's off, they're responsible for making the dinner. And again, I'll do the dishes, and vice versa. We switch back and forth. On my days off, we tend to cook together, but it's harder, obviously, when we're working. And the last thing I want to do when I get off a 12-hour shift is spend an hour or more cooking a good, hearty meal.
Yeah. How equitable is that? If we can all learn from that, that would be awesome.
Absolutely.
Life would be so much easier.
It's a little bit of give and take.
It's a reciprocity. And Lisa, you're cooking, you're on your own.
Yes, I am.
So you end up cooking... Do you end up doing that a lot? Like, do you end up like going home after your 12-hour shift cooking? Like, what is your process then?
So usually I'll, like I said, on my days off, make a bunch of food for the days I'm working. Mm-hmm. So I'll make like 3 things of meat or fish, and then I'll just disperse it amongst the nights or the lunches, as well as just some rice or whatever I decide to concoct. But I know we had discussed this before, but also a really good thing are the good food boxes or the HelloFresh boxes. So I get those on my weeks that I work quite a bit.
And how much are they, by the way? What is the cost of those things?
honestly, I've never really paid full price for it, but it's around $60 for three meals, I believe. But I usually have discount codes or there's promotions going on. Okay. So you actually get all the ingredients and you pre-pick the meals too. They're different every week. And they really take about 20 to 30 minutes, if even less, to make. And they're great for when you're working because you have everything already there for you and mm-hmm. you just cook everything and the recipe comes with it.
Oh, great. Then have you ever tried to just imitate it, like have the ingredients ready for the just going to the grocery store, getting that and organizing that? Or you find that tedious?
Absolutely. If I really like a recipe, I'll definitely imitate it. Mm-hmm. It's I know me and Katie had mentioned this before. Those boxes are great because they really take you out of your comfort zone for stuff that you normally wouldn't cook or ingredients you wouldn't just buy on a whim. Mm-hmm. So it's nice, and it's not like you're buying them in excess either. Like they send you the right portions for everything. Mm-hmm. And for me, like I have it. It's like you can get them as per serving. Like there's family ones, and there's different boxes you can customize, but I usually have enough for my next meal, so it's great.
Yeah, it works out. I guess that works out really well.
Absolutely.
For you. And and in terms of nights, Katie, what's happening in terms of your meals when you're working nights?
So when I switch over to working night shifts, I sleep usually for my first night. I sleep from 12 to 5, give mm-hmm. or take. And when I get up, I end up having dinner with my partner as a full meal. Mm-hmm. And then I go into shift. And for the rest of the shift, most of my eating is smaller, healthier snacks like hummus and pita chips, veggies and dip, granola bars, or a handful of nuts, mm-hmm. something relatively healthy. Sometimes I will bring like an egg or toast or a little bit of leftover from dinner if it's like salad based.
Yeah.
And I'll try and eat that before midnight. But usually after midnight, I don't have much of an appetite to digest a heavy meal, especially if it's pasta or bread related. So I just try and stick to fruit or nothing other than hydrating.
And do you not like, and that's been, you find that not being hungry, not having an appetite has been a normal part and process of working nights?
Yes, I've struggled with eating on nights since I was a nursing student, basically, when I was introduced to night shifts in my fourth year. I always had a hard time eating, and I don't know if it was stress or nerves. And then I just kind of built a habit of not really eating per se. And now certainly there are times, for example, when our floor will order out for a mm-hmm. special occasion, or we'll have a potluck pre-pandemic times mm-hmm. and we'll usually crack those potlucks open around 11 o'clock midnight. Mm-hmm. I always feel terrible an hour or so after I've eaten, just because everything just sits in your stomach like a hard rock and it doesn't digest. So I've just, from personal experience, tried to limit those opportunities so that I can actually survive the rest of the shift, because it makes for a really long night shift if you're sitting there struggling to stay awake because you've got a full belly of food.
Yeah, and also like it totally depends on where your circadian clock is as well.
Absolutely.
If it's not like synchronized to your liver clock or your kidneys, then the misalignment is going to have, you know, repercussions where you don't have appetite, whereas some people are hungrier at night and wanting carbs and wanting sugar. It's very interesting that
I do get those cravings on the night shift at times. I shouldn't say I'm not always hungry. I'm not hungry for meals, I guess is the best way of putting it.
Okay. That's a good distinction.
Yeah, by the time I hit 2-3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
I have to fight everything in me to not go to the vending machine and buy some candy. That is my weakness in life, is sugar. It's not chips, it's not fast food, it is sugar for some weird reason. And every cell in my body is literally
wants it,
forcing me to go to that vending machine. And of course, if I do cave the odd time and go and have it, mm-hmm. the sugar crash that you have afterwards is terrible. So again, not worth it. But yeah, your body, you're literally fighting every impulse in your body to try and say no because you know what the outcome is, and it's a struggle. It's not worth it.
Yeah, and also because we are insulin resistant and during night shift as well. These are like studies that have been that have come out that looked at sleep deprivation and its impact on food cravings, and they took perfectly healthy, and mostly it's male adults that they took, perfectly healthy young male adults, and it showed that once they were sleep deprived, the kind of food that they wanted was sugar and starch and everything that was healthy. And they did all kinds of different studies in this. They deprived people of sleep. They put whole buffets in front of them and noticed what they were eating. They deprived people of sleep, and then they sent them to supermarkets to see what they would buy. And mostly what they wanted was, you know, food, definitely wasn't definitely broccoli and apples and stuff. It was definitely chips and candy bars. So fighting your own biology at night, especially as shift workers, is a very difficult thing. Because of your exercise training, do you think that hasn't had an impact in terms of your diet intake?
Absolutely. I mean, with my overall goals in fitness, I'm always trying to focus on eating clean, eat enough protein to meet the amount of calories that I'm burning off in a normal workout with cardio and with weightlifting, so that I'm not constantly in a negative balance. Because if I'm in a negative balance, then I'm just burning the muscle that I'm trying to build, and I'm never going to get anywhere. I'm still going to stay very skinny, which in some people, that's obviously what their overall goal is. But for me, I want to try and strive to put muscle on and make it look like I actually work out every day of the week. And unfortunately, I struggle to achieve that overall goal because I can't eat the amount of protein that is expected to achieve that goal. It's hard to, for my stomach to ingest that amount of calories, but it's also financially quite the burden to be eating that much food every single day. But the overall focus whenever I'm working out is to try and ideally eat clean, limit high calorie, low density items that aren't, they're just fillers basically.
Indeed.
And so that's kind of the overall goal. And I think fitness has definitely opened my eyes to the balance between physically working out and eating healthy and how you can achieve your overall goals. They kind of go hand in hand.
And Kitty, you actually did, you did bodybuilding for a year.
Is I did. Right?
And then,
I did.
And in terms of bodybuilding, there is a, you know, once you start doing that, you have to eat like hyper clean meals and multiple meals throughout the day.
Yes.
And by, let's talk about, let's give our audience, when we say hyper clean meal, what did that meal look like? Please tell us.
Okay. My gosh, that was a few years ago when I did that and I loved it. I loved every minute of doing the whole challenge of bodybuilding. I was paying for a trainer and a nutritionist who guided every meal and every workout of every day to coach me to hit goals that I needed to hit every few weeks. And the biggest challenge was for me was the nutrition part, because previous to doing the bodybuilding, I never really considered calories, the amount of sugar in products, the amount of carbs, how much protein was in things. I just, it looked good.
You ate it.
Yeah. And I ate it. Yeah. The false illusion that stores have unfortunately given to the general public is all of these prepackaged, quick grab and go yogurt and nuts or vegetables or fruit with dip that are convenient for people are packed with all the wrong calories when you're trying to achieve certain goals. And so the nutritionist really opened my eyes in a sense of, this is how you're going to have to do everything from scratch, buy everything from scratch and prep it from scratch. So you know exactly what you're getting and what you're putting in your body every single day. And we had a pretty big goal, I would say, of putting weight on.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of like, also, it's a lot of time. It's like a lot of like time consumption in terms of shopping and then buying and then creating the meals themselves. And then you had to eat them, did you say five times? Because I think that's what, like, in terms of bodybuilding, muscle buildup, that's, you need like frequent meals throughout the days, right?
Correct.
That what's happening?
Correct. So every 2.5 to 3 hours, I was having to eat roughly 300 to 400 calories, clean calories, in order to hit my targets. And my, if I remember correctly, my targets were anywhere from 2,800 to 3,200 clean calories with a target goal sitting around 150 to 155 grams of protein. And at the time, I was sitting around a body weight of 122, 123 pounds. So I was trying to achieve an overall goal in a year of being a body weight of 150 to 155, and that would have been purely muscle mass gain, not fat gain. So that is exceptionally challenging to try and do. And anybody in the bodybuilding industry knows just how hard it is to put muscle on, let alone try and stuff that amount of food in your body.
And, yeah, I mean, and on top of like shift work, like let's not forget like that's, and especially when all the systems, all your peripheral organ clocks are kind of completely misaligned.
Absolutely.
As a shift worker and trying to force yourself into that, like that, that's not a, that I can't imagine that being a very good feeling.
No, I had a bunch of different products that I was using, that would count as multiple servings of vegetables or fruits or proteins that I was supplementing as, shakes, I guess, is the best way of putting it, so that I could ingest a smaller amount of liquid or food just to get the total number of calories and macros in that I needed. And that helped me a lot when I worked night shifts because, again, didn't have the appetite to eat five or six small broken down meals. It just wasn't possible for me. So I did struggle for the first 5-6 months of this program, really trying to figure out how the heck am I going to get all of these macros in a day when I have zero appetite, or it sits, it doesn't digest properly.
Yeah, or even if it's making a difference, especially if it's not digesting.
Yeah,
if it's not digesting well.
It was a tough adventure to do for the year, especially with shift work. At the time, I happened to be single, so I had all the time in the world to just focus on cooking, working out, sleeping, working.
Yeah.
That was literally all I did every day. And then, of course, when I ventured into a relationship, then you're trying to split up your time, and it became more challenging. I won't say it's impossible because there's definitely shift workers out there that are in the bodybuilding community and they're doing a rock solid, fantastic job. Most of them will probably admit that it is a challenge. They have, there's challenges to trying to balance all of those things. But if your overall goal is going to be achieving this fitness and a certain look and a certain physique, then you're going to do everything in your power to try and to achieve those goals.
Yeah, it depends on where your priorities at.
Absolutely.
And with Lisa, in terms of sports, because you were heavily into sports, how did that shift the diet component?
Well, when I was playing sports after work too, then I wasn't getting home until like sometimes 10 p.m. So honestly, sometimes I wasn't even eating dinner, which is really bad. I don't have a big appetite as is. Like I kind of like have smaller portions or smaller meals. And like even the other night I was exhausted when I got home from work and I went right to bed. I didn't even eat a supper. So I find, and like when I was playing sports, like you're going from these day shifts too, like you do have to eat because you're running around. You're so busy. Like there's a lot more downtime sometimes on night shifts. But you do need to, if you don't eat, like you're exhausted. Like I remember a few weeks ago, like I had a crazy shift and I didn't even get a first break until about one. And I was just dying. Like I felt like I was going to pass out. And then if you're adding on like doing something physical after work, like you have to have, make sure that you have enough energy in your body in order to be healthy about your decisions if you're going to go and burn all these calories. So like even on my days off too, like if I know I'm going to go for a run, like I actually usually go around noon and I'll eat after that. And usually I feel okay.
And did you not like, because nutrition is such a key component in terms of exercise and muscle recovery and energy expenditure, when you would train at night and you hadn't eaten well, and when you're going and doing sports and then you're going home and not eating well, did you notice any difference within yourself in terms of like your energy, in terms of your mood, in terms of your sleep?
Absolutely, for all three, I would say.
Could you please
However,
tell me a little bit?
Well, I would be A, exhausted, mm-hmm. and B, I would just be, like, depleted. Like, I was tired enough to fall asleep, but then I'd have a really bad sleep through the night. So, and especially if you're working a day shift the next day and have to be up again, mm-hmm. that's not great. So I stopped doing that. I usually make sure I do eat something when I get home, even if it's just something small. Like, it might not be a full meal mm-hmm. if I'm in between 2 days. If it's, like, I'm done a couple shifts, like, I usually will sit down and have, like, a big meal. Because if I don't have to get up the next day. Mm-hmm. But I think that on our floor, like, I know it's probably like this at most jobs, but I find when I go to my other job, which is a lot more laid back, I don't have to eat as much. But on in the ICU, like, you do have to make sure you have energy and you're eating.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it, like, I'm just wondering, this is something, wouldn't it be better if you guys had a window of time, like, when you're doing your 12-hour day shifts, to have a window of time that's dedicated to you having food around 6:30, because then you don't have to go home and eat just before going to bed and having, you know, because that we know that there's so much data on not eating too close to bedtime because it truly impacts your metabolic system. It impacts your sleep. Wouldn't it be something if you created a system, not you, but the system itself gave you that opportunity to be able to have your meal around that time so you're not rushing home, cooking and eating and then going to bed, all of the things that are actually not good for overall quality of your life?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of the older nurses usually take a supper break and they eat their supper at work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just feel like because I eat lunch late, I don't really want to have another meal at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, yes. I'm like Katie too. Like sometimes, like I'll be like, oh, I really want something like sugary or sweet, but mm-hmm. then I try and hold off the urge. Honestly, at the end of the day too, we don't have the best food options at KGH. So it is better to bring your own food. And I usually bring a couple of snacks. Like I really bring some, or I'll bring like protein bars. And if mm-hmm. I'm really hungry later in the day, or I'll have like I said before, an apple. Mm-hmm. But I know, I think it is kind of bad sometimes when you're eating super late at night. And that's why, like when I'm on my days off, like I eat supper around 5 o'clock, I'd say, on a daily average, just depending on what I'm doing. Mm-hmm.
And Katie,
things are different.
And Katie, what happens on your days off? Like, what time are you eating when you go home on your, like, what time are you eating when on your days off?
In terms of just dinner?
Yeah.
I'm usually eating around 5:30 myself. I try and eat at a normal time, and it gives me downtime to digest. And then we have such a routine of walking our dog mm-hmm. around 7 o'clock, and that expedites any digestion that needs to continue happening. Basically, it helps if there's a lump in your stomach, like if you have a big heavy meal, mm-hmm. It helps digest it so much better getting that exercise in, so by the time you're ready to lay down for bed, it's not sitting like a ball in your stomach any longer.
It's funny because my parents we used to do that when I was in India, post walk, like post dinner walk, and actually most people did that. Where we lived, you would have your dinner and then everybody would go out for a walk in the neighborhood. What I wanted to ask you is, like, when you go home on your day shift and you're having your meal around 7:30, have you noticed the impact of it on your sleep?
It's tricky, 'cause I would say sometimes when I'm eating at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, I would, depending on what I'm eating, mm-hmm. Usually we try and eat clean. It can sometimes not digest super well, or I don't tend to go for that walk after work because I just don't have the energy to do it. Mm-hmm. I just go to bed. Depending on the nature of the day, I will wake up the following day feeling as if I never slept. I don't know if it's related to how busy the day was versus me eating late at night, because mm-hmm. sometimes I'll feel that way without eating late at night.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it's having a huge impact, but I'm sure it can't be great. As you said, there's tons of studies out there that mm-hmm. say eating a large meal an hour or so before laying down is detrimental to your overall health.
Mm-hmm. Well, eating in the evening, like the new field in terms of chrononutrition, when they're looking at it, they're saying first meal, like when you wake up and you're ready to eat, like not like I wake up and you should eat when you're ready to eat in the morning. This is when you're actually feeling hungry. That meal should be really, really big. And then as the day progresses, your meals should become smaller and smaller to the point that prior to like the bedtime meal should be like a simple soup or a broth for like, you know, in terms of metabolic health. Because I think diet is such a complicated subject because it's not just in terms of like when we should be eating, but individuals' circadian rhythms play such a big role in terms of digestion and overall metabolic health.
Absolutely. I wish there was more information out there for specifically for shift workers guiding you in what, not necessarily always what to eat, but when to eat, when to avoid certain things, acidy products, high carbs, high protein. Are there certain times of days and nights that you should avoid those things to help better your sleep, help better your digestion, your absorption, all of those things? And really, ever since I started nursing, most nutritionists out there are not able to help you when you, and I think that's because there's a lack of research out there. And then what research does exist says you shouldn't eat at nighttime. Yeah, but that's impossible.
No, because that is true. Because what is looking at when you're looking at time restricted feeding, it's not like everybody knows, like most of the population would know that, you know, good home cooked meal is way better than going to McDonald's. Like, generally, everybody's well aware of that. Most people are aware of what is good for them to eat. But the problem is the timing itself, when to eat. And in terms of shift work, if basic, what I'm looking at, and I'm when I'm looking at the research behind this, in terms of chrononutrition and all of that, what it's saying is that if you're not sleeping, according to your circadian rhythms, you shouldn't be eating. Because of the misalignment of your peripheral clocks. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there was a study that showed that in rats, when they desynchronized their circadian rhythms, it took them about 8, and not all of them, 8 days for their liver clock to get synchronized to their master clock. And not all of the rats actually recovered from that. And the consequences of that in terms of your metabolic health are just enormous. And especially like I was, when I was attending the advanced course in circadian rhythms at World Sleep Congress, it was, for me, what it came across is that if you're a shift worker, you shouldn't eat. Because the window of time of eating should be, you know, around noon to 3 o'clock. But, you know, you're not going to get up at noon and start eating and then go to sleep. Like, that's just not possible. And then stopping eating at from 6 o'clock to like 6 o'clock in the morning the next day. Those are not realistic options. That's not our reality. And that is very interesting to me that we're not taking the reality into account at all.
When you work night shifts, like those are the hours you're usually sleeping before the night shift, or you're sleeping from the night before.
Exactly. Yeah. So when should we be eating? And then what should you do? Should you have your entirety of your caloric intake within like an hour long window? Like, how ill is that? That to me is so anti-human, because food is joy. Food is nutrition. Food is like literally, it makes you who you are. Then looking at it from that component, I think it makes it very, very difficult for shift workers to, you know, decide as to what to eat and when to eat it. And other than that, are you guys doing okay under the circumstances in the current new reality that we're existing in?
Yeah, I'm slowly adjusting to this new reality.
Yeah.
It's like anything. I can imagine if I was just starting at the gym for the very first time, it would be an adjustment to get used to it, to make it a routine. And so right now I'm just making this new reality a routine, trying to iron out the kinks.
And how's your cooking changed?
I'm cooking a lot more from scratch than I ever used to, but simply because I have the time on my days off to do so. And it's been fun. Like Lisa had mentioned, I'm using food boxes mm-hmm. pretty much weekly right now. It limits me having to go to the grocery store mm-hmm. As often, and I don't have to think about the meals that I'm making. As she mentioned, all the instructions and servings and portions come. Mm-hmm. And they're usually 30 to 35 minute meals, and they're all very healthy, fantastic things that I wouldn't normally eat. And so it's been fun. It's been fun to explore things within the kitchen because I love following a recipe. Mm-hmm. So it's getting me, it's good. It's helping pass the time.
That's wonderful. And Lisa, have you found that you're also cooking more so at home? Or prior to
Definitely.
That, were you going out quite a bit and eating out quite a bit?
Socially, I would mm-hmm. be. But no, like usually if I'm working, I'm still pretty good about, I haven't really changed my practice with in the kitchen in terms of routines for eating. The food boxes we've mentioned, I've had those before as well. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely baking a lot more too because I have time.
Yeah.
So baking, cooking quite a bit and changing up some recipes, like looking up recipes online, doing recipes exchanges with friends.
Sometimes
it is fun. And yeah. sometimes, like I said yesterday, I ended up getting Thai food because I was on my third day and I was mm-hmm. like, I don't feel like cooking when I get home after yeah. 3 days, 36 hours of being at the hospital.
Yeah.
So I got, Thai food mm-hmm. and once in a while I'll treat myself to it, but it's more of a social thing for me. So I find it's definitely saving us money, but, I'm trying not to go to the grocery store as much. Like I went the other day and spent a obscene amount of money, but the produce is what I have to frequently go back for, which sucks, but I'm routined in what I like to get. So I do like to go back for that. It's not too bad going in the stores here either.
No, it's been pretty good as well. Thank you both for joining me on this conversation. And I think we missed the alcohol bits and all of that, but I think we'll come back to that and talk about like the socialization and the alcohol bits in our next podcast, which I'm hoping you guys are going to join me and this is going to become our thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Katie. And thank you, Lisa, for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us, Ruhi.
It's such a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining me on this episode of Sleep in Society. And we will connect soon.
Thank you for listening to the Ruhi Sleep in Society podcast, available on ruhisleep.ca. Don't forget to follow us on social media @RuhiSleep on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for listening.